T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
CU presents the KISW Financial Advisor. Here to talk money, please welcome Todd. I invented numbers, so I know how this stuff works. Peach.
That's right, man. Todd, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks, BJ.
As you know, Todd's got over 25 years of experience in financial services. So, I mean, you need to know anything about your money and what you can do with it. Todd is the man. And don't forget BECU. It is a great credit union. It does so much more for you than a regular bank. And it also does the stuff that a regular bank does do for you. And if you live, work, or attend school in Washington State, you can be a part of BECU. Just go to BECU.org. And whatever questions you got, 206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999.
All right, we got a text message. Actually, a few text messages. Someone said, hey, Todd, should I pay off my student loan debt first or max out my 401k every year? I'm 34. I have roughly $80,000 left in student loan debt.
Oy, oy, oy. That's a lot.
That's a great question.
That's why I'm kind of
curious what the interest rate is on the student loan debt. Does he say in there at all?
No, he does not.
Well, I guess... first of all, and he's 34, so we got a lot of time on our hand. I would say, number one, make sure if you have a company match, it's a given that you want to take that first. So if they match 2%, 3% on the first, 4 to 6% of your money, that's free money. So everybody, no matter what, should be taking that because you're just leaving it on the table. Outside of that, I would compare kind of. What interest rate are you paying on that student loan debt? $84,000 is a lot. If it's in that 5-7% range, you might want to make a plan on kind of getting that paid off ASAP, and then slowly increase what you can get. Hopefully you can get that paid off, and then go back to the 401k. Or maybe there's a balance in between here where we can put a little to the 401k. And then a little to the student loan, but either way, I guess my objective would be, let's see what we can do to reduce our expenses overall, so we can do both, get the student loan paid off and contribute to the 401k.
Damn, that's a lot of money for that student loan, though.
It is. One thing we don't know is student loan debt can be a good debt. If you make it work for you, and we don't know what his profession is, his or her profession. So it depends how much money we're going to be making on the other end. Just going to depend how fast we can get that paid off.
So what you mean is if your college education can really launch you into a good career and a lot, mm-hmm. and you'll make good money, then that's what you mean by good debt?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, obviously on the extreme end is a doctor or, a dentist, something like that, where you're going to be making, you're paying up front for a lot of money on the back end, or potentially an attorney. But again, so that $84,000, what are we doing with that? Are we a basket weaving class, or are we something else?
Dude, so grad school that's for fine. Basket weaving is not cheap. I'm telling you that. I'm still paying my loans for that.
Yeah, but Steve, you make great baskets.
Thank
Let's
you.
Not, I mean, I don't think that's wasted. That's a great talent. 206.
Yeah, so that's what we don't know what the income side of the house is. So, yep.
206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. If you have any questions for Todd, just, either call us or text us. And don't forget, man, BECU is a great place. You can also get in touch with Todd there, too. You can give him an email and just go to KISW.com. Scroll down. You'll see the banner with Todd's smiling face.
text message from Ashley speaking to 401k stuff. She says, I'm from Eatonville, and I recently was able to get a 401k through work. 29 years old, and I figure it's a great time to start. They offer regular 401k or a Roth 401k. I opted for the Roth thinking that having taxes taken out now while I'm working is a better option. What's your opinion?
Yay, I love it. 29 years old and a Roth, that money's going to grow tax-free. You'll never owe the IRS money on that ever again. Absolutely love it, and I wish everybody would do that.
Is there any time in your life where a Roth doesn't make sense, Todd?
Well, I mean, it's if you think, I mean, yes, there can be, BJ. As you get older, it certainly does play a factor, and then you know what, but a lot of that it still can make sense when you get older. It depends. You kind of have to project out, you know, what your tax bill is going to look like in retirement, and or do you want to leave money to heirs? And so what are your goals with that money? And yeah, if you're 70 years old, you know, your life expectancy is another 25 years. And yeah, well, I mean, obviously you wouldn't make sense to do that, even though, well, I guess you potentially could if you're working, but the older you get, it probably leans more towards not doing the Roth, but that's not always the case, I guess. But at 29 or even in your 30s, it's for the most part, it's a no-brainer to do the Roth.
We're talking to Todd Peach from BECU.org. You got any financial questions? 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
Dude, this one, I can't even believe it. So this person's 17 years old and is already thinking smart with their money, which is just not my world. But it says, I'm 17. I'm looking for a good index fund to invest in. Any recommendations?
That's awesome. Hats off to they even know what an index fund is.
I don't even know what an index fund is. I was hoping that I wasn't screwing this up by saying it.
I'm a little lost on that myself.
just to kind of give you guys an index fund, there's either an index fund or it's a managed fund. So an index fund, and there's many hundreds of them, but they're going to follow the market. So the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the global market, and they're passive funds, which means that they don't have an active manager that's actively buying and selling the stocks in the portfolio. They're purely following an index. And with that comes the benefit of low costs. And so index funds are awesome. I would say most of the time they always outperform active managed funds year over year.
So, Todd, explain this to me, because I know that obviously managed funds, they buy different companies. I mean, at some point you're investing in some company. So how are you investing in companies if you're just investing in the index? My brain doesn't get that.
Okay. So let's say you buy the S&P 500 index.
Right.
So there's 500, right? Standard & Poor's 500. There's 500 companies in that. So that fund is going to own a weighted average of those 500 companies.
So but what happens if somebody drops out of the 500 and some new company enters the 500, or does that ever happen?
Then they do have to sell that company and buy the other one. Like what happened to Tesla not too long ago, right? Somebody dropped out, Tesla came in, so the fund had to adjust. But that's not a passive, or that's passive. That's not active managing. It's not saying, okay, Amazon's doing great, we're going to overweight in Amazon, and we're going to underweight in something else. That's the active management. What passive is just saying, we're going to do the weighted average, and it's going to stay that way, and we're not going to continue to buy and sell. So those you can get those funds for 3, 4, 5 basis points a year.
So since we're talking about that, is there a special kind of person that would want to do managed over index, or is there a benefit to either one? Because since you brought it up, you know, I feel like, you know, the stock market, the S&P, the Dow, they look like they do pretty good. I mean, if you're talking about over the last 50, 60 years. So, I mean, why would I not want to do an index fund as opposed to managed?
Well, I would say I'm speaking for myself. I only do index funds, but managed funds, there are some fund managers that have been at it for a long time, know what they're doing. They can tend to be a little less volatile. in the short term. So because the index is not going to necessarily sell out if things go bad for a particular company or whatnot. So you might see a little less volatility with a managed fund, and that fund manager is at the wheel. So if things go awry, they sell. But the problem is when things come back, they don't buy quick enough. So I'm not going to say that active managed funds are not something you shouldn't consider. But all I can tell you is that most fund managers will not, especially in the long term, will not outperform index funds, and they cost more, much more than index funds.
Oh, damn. 206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999. We got Todd Peach from BECU.org.
Got a couple of texts asking about house stuff. This person says, I've been pre-approved for a home loan and I'm currently house hunting. What's your opinion on purchasing short sale homes?
I have no problem, you know, with a short sale home. I think that the same rules apply. What are you paying? What's the condition of the home? Where's it located? Location is the key, right? A short sale doesn't mean anything about the home. It just means where the financial situation of the seller. I have no issues whatsoever with a short sale. Again, you're just looking at the price, the quality of the home, where it's located. You're walking through the same steps and decision making process as you would with any house.
Okay, about this text that says, my wife and I are trying to buy a house right now. We're using an FHA loan, and it's super hard to find a house. It seems like nobody wants to sell through an FHA loan. Any advice? We're looking in South Pierre County. Also, we have about $4,500 in earnest money and $5,000 additional down for our offers.
Well, I mean, I don't know that a loan is a loan closed, but I think with a hot market right now, cash offers will probably bubble to the top. So I don't have any specific advice. I would say, you know, housing here locally and throughout the U.S. right now, homes are getting multiple offers.
Mm-hmm.
I would talk to your real estate agent and say, ask, you know, why are we missing out? What can we do? Maybe it's being more competitive on your offers. One thing that I always recommend to folks is, if you have a house that you're putting an offer in, is accompany it with a letter or a video on why you want that house. How make your offer stand out amongst the other offers that homeowner is getting. If the homeowner's emotionally, they own their house for a long time, they're going to probably pay attention to who's buying that house and what that's going to look like in the future.
Well, I'll tell you, man, it's amazing that that's where we are because, you know, when I bought my home and when I remember buying homes, you never had to go through that rigmarole. It's like, hey, I got the money. Can I buy your house? But it's amazing just how it is a seller's market right now. And
it's crazy, Jay. I mean, multiple offers over, asking price is now the starting price for bidding prices in many markets.
Crazy.
It can't go forever. Can't go on forever. I don't know how long it'll last, but, it's not sustainable for the long term.
Well, we've run out of time with Todd, but that doesn't mean you cannot contact him with any of your questions. Just go to KISW.com, scroll down, you'll see the banner with Todd's smiling face. Click on that. They'll send you an email link, and if Todd can help you, he will. And BECU, man, that's what they're all about. They help out all their members. And if you want to be a member, it's pretty simple. All you got to do is live, work, or attend school in Washington State. BECU help you with your banking, try to help you with all aspects of your financial life if they can. And again, it's BECU.org. Todd, good hearing from you, buddy.
Thanks, BJ. You too, man.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.